Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Welcome back to another fun episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with Amanda, Justin, and Randy Van Dyke. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Fabulous.
Sweet. I'm the only one that warranted a last name. I like it.
You did. It just seemed right to say your full name. I don't know. I'm just crazy like that. So, yeah, did you guys watch the big game last night?
Nope.
Yes. It's un-American not to, Dave.
Yeah, you guys going to hell. Did you guys at least watch all the movie trailers online?
Yep.
Yeah.
I watched them all on geeklegacy.com.
Woo! Plus,
all of them.
Where you can get all your geek news and reviews.
I may have forgotten the first one we're going to talk about. it was subconscious because I was so disappointed at the amount of footage they showed. So, Justin, you were a fan of it. Tell us all about this trailer, teaser, films.
You got it. For number 10, what is it? Is it just 10 Cloverfield Lane?
10 Cloverfield Lane.
yeah, it should be a half, though, because they're like in a bomb shelter. Aren't weird addresses and apartments always like a half?
I don't think so. I think that's if, like, you sublet, like, your garage.
They might be a letter.
I think it would be better if it was 10 and a half Cloverfield Lane. Either way, that would just confuse people. But we get to see the lady outside of the bomb shelter. What's her name? Mary Elizabeth Winstead? Is that her name?
Yeah.
She's pretty. I like her. Anyway,
women. Only Amanda can objectify men.
Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, she's a fine young woman, and uptown all the way. And she's outside of the house and the what do you call it, the bomb shelter. And then you see John Goodman be the Good Samaritan and bring her down into the dark cellar.
Yeah, don't open that door. You know if there's air out there.
Yeah. And so I'm totally getting like, what was that movie? War of the Worlds, where they go inside the basement of
Tim Robbins'
house. Yeah, and he's like crazy. You can't trust those zombie apocalypse survivor types. They're a little weird.
Yeah, there's a reason they're still alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody.
So we get to see a before she goes into the bomb shelter, a during the bomb shelter, and after the bomb shelter. So we know that there is definitely something lurking about.
Way to ruin the movie, Abrams.
Yeah. So you are not happy about that, Dave.
Oh.
Even though you know that there was going to be a monster?
We didn't know.
We did. She goes outside. And, I mean, before she went outside, you saw her, like, look out the window and saw something and be excited.
Well, we don't know what she saw.
Why would they call it Cloverfield if it wasn't a monster?
Who knows? why? Maybe
sounds like an address to me.
Yeah, maybe it's the giant MacGuffin. Like, maybe it has nothing to do. Maybe it's just this fun thing. It's not like it's
maybe
like
John Goodman is the monster.
The title, the title,
the monsters in all of us.
Exactly. The title alone spoils the movie, Dave. You didn't know what it was until you saw the title at the end of the first trailer, and you're like, "Oh my God, Cloverfield! It's gonna be a monster. It's scary. Oh my goodness."
Maybe it was just they were gonna go out, and then this is like the nuclear fallout from the monster, and the monster's not there. Or you know, the first Cloverfield rested so firmly on the laurels of, you know, you don't know shit. Like, we're going to throw you into this and you know absolutely nothing. And we got that awesome teaser that came out of nowhere with the Statue of Liberty head and stuff like that. And you didn't see the monster until you saw the movie. And it's just, they had such a good concept in the trailer and they were obviously depending on the, you know, we don't know what's going on. There's all these clues that like could lead us one way or the other. To where now we're clearly being led down the path that John Goodman has saved these people, and he's trying to hold them down there because he knows that there's bad stuff out there, and these people are going to misconstrue his kindness and escape out, and then bad shit's going to happen. To where before it was maybe John Goodman's just a crazy person who keeps people in their basements, or maybe he's a good Samaritan. To where now we. Now, one of the main key components that interested me about this movie has already been answered.
I think that you are naive for not even realizing that there was a monster to begin with. I am outraged and offended. I find it unbelievable, unthinkable, and unimaginable.
Am I the asshole here? Okay, I need a ruling, Randy. There was a monster. Am I the asshole, or is Justin the asshole in this scenario, Randy? Your ruling will be final.
Well, sorry, Justin. I'm gonna have to side with David.
Yes,
that is ridiculous. I mean, I believe everything that you say up until the part where it said 10 Cloverfield Lane. Then immediately you know that there was a monster.
It could have been dealing with the aftermath of the monsters and how humanity went all crazy, batshit, nuts, and turning on each other, killing each other. You never know what could have happened.
I do know.
Like so I said, man is the real monster.
They shot the movie and they said, you know what? This movie sucks. You know what would make it better? Monsters.
Cloverfield Monsters.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went down.
It was originally just called 10 Lane.
I bet you.
It was a bowling movie.
Yeah, it's a follow-up to Big Lebowski.
Yeah, I'll concede with you that this movie will somehow play into the mythos of the original Cloverfield in that maybe there's a monster, maybe there's a father, something like that. But I still just think that the dynamics of the characters are just shattered for me. So, I don't know.
Baby.
I mean, it's not nearly as good as Alistair Looking Glass, which I know Amanda is just dying to talk about because it's her favorite movie. So, Amanda, tell me all about...
Why would you say something like that about me?
We're talking about how much you love Johnny Depp and you love the Mad Hatter. And
why would you lie about me like that?
Already in line to see it.
Actually, like, I just saw that image of Johnny Depp and I thought, like, I guess I'm just really tired, but I thought... Why, like, he's just playing the Mad Hatter again.
That's okay. Justin can't say anything bad because he thought Eddie and the Eagle was about NASCAR, and it's about snow skiing, which could not be further from NASCAR in the world. It's why
he looked like he was wearing a jumpsuit.
It did not. It looks like he's wearing something you would wear, like a ski bib. Yeah. He's holding skis.
I don't see the skis.
There's snow in the background.
I thought he was outside of his car getting ready to get inside.
No.
That's literally what I thought. I'm like, oh, great, another NASCAR movie. Awesome.
With Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. He's a crew chief.
Nothing about this is NASCAR.
Dude, when I'm looking at this, okay, so I see the snapshot of it where it's a Super Bowl TV commercial, right? It's the image, right? It looks like they are at a racetrack and he's wearing a jumpsuit.
This Calgary 88.
I don't see that through the... I mean, you know that now, but I see it all covered by the word bowl.
Or you could read the
synopsis. And that looks like a car underneath the tarp. Where that
or you
guy...
could put the synopsis that I put in there. The sentence ends with British ski jumper.
Dave, pictures tell the story, not your words.
Pictures are 1,000 words. This is like word 9. It's easier.
British ski jumper? I see it now.
Yeah. Not to jump over you, Randy, what did you think of Alistair Looking Glass? You, I know, love these computer-generated worlds like we see in Oz and Alice in Wonderland. Like, you don't hate them at all like I do.
Well, I made the mistake of seeing the first movie 5 years ago when it came out, and I still have a bad taste in my mouth, so I have zero intention of seeing this one.
But your girlfriend's in it, Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, Johnny Depp doesn't eat pineapple.
Oh, I'm gonna give it a hard pass.
Yeah. Did you realize that the very first podcast we ever recorded was right after you saw Alice in Wonderland?
Like Hat Trick Folly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me, because that probably set me off about Anne Hathaway's fucking mouth.
You're terrible.
She's the
best. I think I remember that, actually.
Until there was an Anna Kendrick, she was my favorite.
I like Anna Kendrick.
I love Anna Kendrick. She replaced the Anne Hathaway there.
She can sing, you know.
She can. She can do it all.
Cups.
Yeah, I would say I've been out on Alice Through the Looking Glass since we saw the footage at D23, and probably even before that. I didn't like the first one at all.
Jabberwocky is the bad guy in that movie? In Alice in Wonderland?
The first one?
Yeah.
Isn't
is there a Jabberwocky?
I don't know. Is there?
Isn't she brought back?
I don't even remember. That's how much I've
watched. I don't know. I don't remember either. I remember. I fell asleep like 3 times watching it. But
all I know is fucking Borat's the villain in the second one.
Oh, I like Borat.
Yeah. I like Sacha Baron Cohen. He's the best. He's the dictator, you know? An underrated comedy, I'm telling you. You should all watch The Dictator. It's good.
What's next on the list?
It's your favorite, Eddie the Eagle, which I guess nobody watched the trailer.
Uh-uh.
It's going to make men cry. And it's gonna be the new Rudy, and it's got Hugh Jackman. So, win and when.
He was in that movie with the robots that bombs.
Yeah, Real Steel. Saw that recorded on my DVR because I liked it so much. Amy was the other day just clearing our DVR. Can I delete Real Steel? And I'm like, no. I might watch that again.
Kate from Lost is in that movie, you know.
Yeah, no movie's perfect, I guess. Like Gods of Egypt. Amanda was just going on about that one, too. Amanda, Gods of Egypt. What am I looking at here?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person.
I don't know either. Randy, do you have any idea what's going on in this movie?
I really have no idea either, but I know all the uproar surrounding it with all these white actors playing Egyptian gods
and Egyptians in general. Oh, actually, I was thinking that.
And the very first time...
I was thinking that when I was watching it.
Yeah, the moment you see Gerard Butler in there, it looks like it should be like a sequel to 300. We zipped past a trailer for it on TV the other day, and my wife said, "Oh, are they making another 300 movie?" Because she saw Gerard Butler. He looks identical to how he did in 300.
Yeah.
So, I mean, number one, 300 made the whole CG environment thing work, but not every movie can pull it off like that one did. And I think there have been far too many movies to have tried since then. And this one, it just feels so plasticky and it feels so fake. And it's just another one of those that I have absolutely no intention to go see.
Goddamn Zack Snyder and his computer background. I just wanted to besmirch the man, but yeah, I don't get it. And yeah, the white whole uproar between not casting, you know, actual, you know, ethnic actors. It's the same thing happened with Ridley Scott when he made Gods and Kings with Christian Bale as Moses, you know.
Right.
Kind of weird, right?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't help that the movie was terrible. I mean, I think that probably helped Ridley Scott not be blackballed. Had it been like a successful movie, I think people would have looked not so kindly on it.
I can't say I know too many Egyptian gods. I like Anubis and Ra are the only two that really come to mind.
Like Horus. Horus is like the big like God of War type person. And that's who Jaime Lannister is playing. He's playing Horus. So there you go. Now you know. Surprised you didn't know that.
I didn't know.
Horus is basically Jesus. Like,
I don't know anything about Egyptian gods except Anubis and Stargate and Kurt Russell.
I don't think Stargate was one of the gods.
Yeah, Kurt Russell was. James Spader, he was the god of something.
Yeah, James Spader, he was the god of the dorky guys.
Yeah. Horus basically has the exact same story as Jesus, but like thousands of years earlier, so.
Oh.
So, like... Simpsons did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, moving on.
Who's Gerard Butler play?
I don't know, like Met or Set or something. I think his name's...
Oh, yeah. Set.
Yeah, Set. S-E-T. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. He's a bad guy.
Gerard Butler's a bad guy?
He was the god of evil and darkness.
Oh.
He was the adversary of Horus and everything that was good, except for the red crown. People regarded the color red as the evil color because of its connection to Set.
Are you on Wikipedia?
I am on www.ancientegyptonline.com.
You could have got that on Geek Legacy. In the description, it says, Set, Gerard Butler, the merciless god of darkness, has usurped Egypt's throne, plunging the once peaceful and prosperous empire into chaos and conflict. What?
When does Kurt Russell come to save the day?
I don't know. Hopefully early on.
He's got the bomb.
He just comes in, and he brings that bomb because his kid got killed, and he's sad, and he just... fucking blows this thing.
Is that why he comes on the mission? Because his kid died?
Yeah, his kid dies. That's why he's like in his room with like his gun. He's about to off himself.
Oh yeah, and that one kid is like playing with his gun. He's like, "Don't touch that."
Yeah.
I didn't ever even knew that.
Yeah, it's sad.
Did you know that the guy that's in Phone Booth is also in Minority Report?
Shut up! Yes, I know Colin Farrell is.
I didn't know that.
He dies in Minority Report.
It makes you wonder how I even like movies when I don't even know what's going on in them. I like make up my own movie as I'm watching it. And like, I swear, no one sees the same thing that I see. It's funny.
Sadly, movies are usually better. Speaking of better movies, Civil War. I think we're all excited about this one.
Yeah.
Who's got a hot beat on this thing? I keep going to Amanda, and she keeps being mad at me. So, Justin.
Yes, I'm excited for it, man. I can't wait.
I'm excited for Civil War.
Yeah?
Talk about drawing a line in the sand, dude. cross this line, you do not.
Ant-Man was in two commercials for Super Bowl. He was in this one and the one with the Hulk.
Yeah, I didn't like that commercial with the Hulk. It would have been funnier if the can sprayed everywhere since he'd been taking it all over the city.
Yeah, all in his face.
Yeah, Hulk. That would have made more sense. I mean, that commercial's fake, basically, is what I'm saying.
No.
Yeah. any soda that was taken all over the city like that would have exploded.
Maybe Ant-Man did something to it. Like, put his ant juice in it or something.
I'm afraid to watch it again. I liked Ant-Man, and I feel like if I watch it again, I won't enjoy it so much.
Like, you're going to pick it apart?
Yeah. I'm just going to remember it as a delight, and that'd be the end of it.
Looks like Ant-Man has a new mask in the new Civil War footage we saw.
Does it have little pinchers?
Yeah, well, it has these little, like, points in his ears, kind of. I don't know, his helmet looks a little different.
Got an upgrade. Yeah. Maybe Stark
upgrade.
Upgrade. UPGRAYDE. Upgrade.
Oh, that's funny.
Idiocracy is here.
I am excited for this movie. I think
the Ant-Man How It Should Have Ended, that the web series, it's pretty funny talking about like at the very beginning when Ant-Man gets out of prison, Michael Peña comes to pick him up in the van, all of a sudden Michael Douglas's character like just pulls up. He's like, hey, you're Henry Pym. He's like, yeah, I need you to come work for me. I was going to have this whole convoluted thing where I had your buddy put you on a heist, rob my house, and you'd find my suit. But I thought, I'd just skip all that, and you just come in my car now. We'll do this a lot faster.
See, I already forgot that was what happened. I remember now. There was a whole convoluted plot of that where he was meant to break into his house.
Yeah, but it's worth it because you get Michael Peña telling like the story, like her from my cousin who had his friend and little tutu.
Yeah,
the best part of the movie, he's telling the stories.
What I don't get is the Vision is on Iron Man's team. Shouldn't the war just be over in like 2 seconds? Isn't he like super powerful and godlike?
Yeah, you would think so. He can just like, I mean, he's basically an Infinity Stone.
So what's the problem? How is this a 2.5-hour movie when he could just snap and be done with it?
I don't know, considering that Thor and Hulk, who are the super strength beings, are not there.
Absent.
I mean, really, Captain America's kind of got he's got kind of a weak army. You know, he's got super soldiers and stuff like that, but, you know, Vision is basically a god, and, you know,
Scarlett Johansson. Exactly. She can beat the shit out of anybody. She is really one of the best Avengers on this whole team.
She is. Sam she won't get her own ass. Movie. Yeah. You know who kicks ass? Jason Bourne.
Ooh.
I was very excited to see Mr. Matt Damon come back into my life as Jason Bourne again. And
he's Baptist now.
Yeah. Throwing Bibles.
Bible-thumping thumb bitch.
Yeah. Amanda, you like Matt Damon because he's a hot hunk of man. What did you think of Bourne Again?
I thought it looked like a little weird. I don't know.
Looks different.
I think it's just maybe once I see it, but the trailer just made it seem very different from the first three movies. It has a completely different feel.
Like the first one was what, like 15 years ago?
Yeah, I know.
It has a definitely different look to it.
Maybe because he's not on the run, and now they're actually just like, he doesn't care who he is anymore because he knows who he is. That was kind of the whole thing. So now it's just they need him for something.
Also, he's looking a little worn around the edges.
Tommy Lee Jones is there. You know, you think if he was there, they'd be able to find him. He found Richard Kimball.
He was on Mars for a couple of years.
Yeah. That ages you, man. He wasn't eating right. He was there for a couple souls.
Oh, did I tell you guys I watched Interstellar again?
Oh, yeah? And did you love it now?
I don't want to say I loved it, but...
Oh, I don't want to hear the rest of this.
No. I still hate it. I still hate it. But I think because I knew where it was going, I wasn't shocked by its stupidity anymore. Does that make sense?
Because you knew he was going to show up 30 years in the past in his daughter's bookshelf and communicate through a complex series of light and dust.
Yes.
Because of that, you were able to appreciate it.
Yeah. Because I knew that it was total horseshit, I wasn't... A bomb was no longer dropped on me. I was revisiting the scene of the crime. What it felt
with
like.
Fresh eyes.
Yeah,
you weren't sitting there in your theater seat dumbfounded.
That's exactly it. I remember just we were like the only two assholes in the whole theater just like laughing. Like we looked at each other and just couldn't believe what the hell we were watching.
And, oh, no way this just happened.
Yeah, and I was watching it. I watched it last weekend on my couch. And I still don't like it, but I definitely enjoyed it more than the first time.
Well, all right. That out there. Respect. You sat through it again. You earned your stripes.
I don't know why I did that, but...
Yeah, it paid off.
Yeah, I guess.
You gave it the ringing endorsement of you didn't hate it. That's like a Randy-level poster quote.
Yeah.
It didn't suck.
Didn't suck, yep.
One day people
I didn't want to gouge my eyes out afterwards.
Yeah, that happens.
I did wish I was blind.
I wanted to gouge. There was a couple movies that I hated really, really bad.
Like what?
Did you ever see Red State?
Yeah.
I didn't like that movie.
It's even got John Goodman in it, and I didn't like it. I like everything John Goodman's in.
John Goodman's in Red State? Oh, yeah, he's the cop guy. He's the ATF.
You
gave
me, like, questions. Like, he's kind of an important character.
I know. I already forgot. Oh, well, Colin Farrell's in it? Did John Goodman's kid die, and that's why he's doing his job?
Nope. Different subplot.
Just making sure.
Kevin Smith doesn't worry about backstory. He's all about the now.
There was some other movie that I watched that I didn't like either. Valentine? That wasn't good either.
I don't know what that is.
It was a horror movie that had Denise Richards and Angel David Boreanaz.
I was going to say, I don't watch movies that are horror movies or movies that have Denise Richards.
Doesn't matter. What's the next trailer?
Teenage Mutant Turtles Out of the Shadow. We got to see Krang finally, and it was amazing.
Yes.
Tell me about it, Randy. You loved it, right?
It was pretty badass when you saw the little Krang eyeball sticking out there. That was a great reveal. I totally dig it.
And Michelangelo's like tapping on the glass.
Yeah.
What did you think about the look of it, Justin? Like the Krang body, like with the shaved head and the robot spine.
I thought it looked fantastic. It's like they just pulled the shit out of a cartoon and made it look real. Loved it.
Woo!
That's pretty exciting. We're gonna see Rocksteady, Bebop, and Krang.
Uh-huh. I think this movie's gonna kill it. I think that it is gonna be one of the highlights of the summer.
It could be a lot of fun. Michelangelo breaking the turtle bus or whatever.
Yeah, and they're just owning how silly it is. I mean, honestly, the whole concept of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle is just ridiculous to begin with, and then they just go fucking full bore. This is how crazy our movie is, especially when you see like Rocksteady on the tank when he goes to like shoot. He's like on the hatch and they fire, and he's just like a yeah, like a fist bump, and I'm on a tank. This is so cool. You buy into it. You're like, I get it. This is
I'm a mutant
amazing.
Rhino shooting a missile from a tank at mutant turtles.
At a turtle. It doesn't get any better than this. I felt like fucking Phil Seymour Hoffman in Twister, where he's just really excited about everything.
That encapsulates the entire movie. Yeah, I'm pumped. What about ID42? Independence Day. Resolution.
Resurgence?
Nah, I know.
Too many explosions.
Oh, never too many. An Amerik movie? Come on.
Yeah. That's like his lens flare. That's his color. Abrams has lens flare, and Amerik just blows shit up.
Constantly.
So you know what makes good lens flare? The White House exploding.
He needs one of those cameras that captures a great white jumping at breaching the surface and just explosions.
You see he gets crush. The seal. The seal just
that would like be awful.
Death Star level. Well, what did you think about that one, Randy?
A lot of explosions, a lot of action. I don't know. I'm down. I like the beginning of it, seeing the jets flying over the stadium and then immediately being obliterated by a bunch of the alien fighters.
Yeah.
Nothing about it I didn't like.
Yeah, you had problems with Amanda. What was your problems with the trailer?
I don't know. It just seemed so over the top to me. It just was too much. Maybe I'm old fashioned.
We got Doritos making premature babies and.
Huh. I didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Missed it. Doritos supports preemies or late-term abortions or something. I don't know. People are up in arms.
Shit.
Yeah. What about you, Justin? What did you think about Independence Day 2?
I'm excited for it. I know that I'm going to go see it and have my big old bucket of popcorn and my soda pop and be excited. It's okay. One of those movies where it is what it is, and you're just going to go, and it'll be fun, and that's all there is to it.
Okay, let's do it. Let's see. Who is more likely to die in this movie?
Jeff Goldblum.
Coleman or Goldblum?
Both.
Who dies sooner?
Pullman.
Yeah.
Pullman
if Jeff
goes
Goldblum
first,
dies, it's only going to be at the end.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to kill Goldblum.
You can't kill Goldblum, right? He's like
no.
Immortal. Dinosaurs can't get him. Aliens couldn't get him. Turned into a fly.
Yeah, he got a shotgun to the face in that movie.
Yeah, I was going to say that he died now. Bad example. But until then, he was doing pretty good.
Yeah. He won an arm wrestling match.
Yeah, I think ex-president Bill Mitchell is going down.
I think he's going to blow himself in the face.
He's Bill Mitchell, right? Pete Mitchell is Top Gun. Yeah. Oh, Mitchell's mixed up.
But they're both fighter pilots.
That's right. One saved the world, one saved Iceman.
Yeah. He's dangerous. And Cougar. That guy Cougar, he got saved once.
That's right.
Did you say his name is Billy Mitchell?
Did I?
Billy Mitchell.
I said Pete Mitchell is Top Gun, and I thought Bill Mitchell was
Independence Day.
Is that not right? I know Billy Mitchell's from King of Kongs.
I know. I got excited when I heard Bill Mitchell. I thought Billy Mitchell.
Someone's going to fact check this and email me and tell me I'm an idiot.
No, President Thomas J. Whitmore.
Hey, you have either name right.
Huh?
Way off.
I couldn't have been more wrong.
I don't think that... Oh, there's a Major Mitchell who's Adam Baldwin.
Who?
Major Mitchell? Oh, Adam Baldwin? The one that says, no, sir. Like, when he's like, is that thing bulletproof? He's like, no, sir.
Before he went on to be Jane.
Yeah. So that's he good. Plays Major Mitchell.
You know, there's someone screaming at their iPhone, just like, that's not his name, asshole.
Yeah, we just lost another subscriber.
No, but
that's
Justin
okay.
Today. They're like, dude, that Justin guy, he's on his shit.
Yeah, he's fast on the Google.
Speaking of being on their shit, how batshit crazy and good is that X-Men Apocalypse trailer, Amanda? You loved it.
Boring.
It could be boring. It had Olivia Munn.
Ooh, I like
slicing
like
a car in half.
How do you not like her? She's amazing.
She's a newsroom.
I don't know. She just rubs me the wrong way.
I wish she rubbed me in any way.
Is this like an anti-Asian?
The second I said that, I knew that was going to come out of your mouth somehow.
Those like things go in my mouth, not out.
Oh, damn it.
Well, to be fair, I have heard she's kind of a C-word in person.
What? Yeah. Because she's beautiful and successful, so people assume she's a C-word.
Maybe.
They're intimidated.
It's just what I hear.
By her beauty.
I can see
I'm
that,
I'm not
too.
Intimidated by it.
I remember she rubbed me the wrong way once, Randy, though. She would sub in for Lisa May on Kevin and Bean when Lisa would go on vacation. And I remember her just saying things that just kind of bothered me. I don't even remember what they were. I just remember her being obnoxious, probably like more so than I am, which is hard to believe. But I remember telling Dave, I'm like, man, I can't stand that Olivia Munn. And then he's like, no, man, she's really cool. She did this awesome photo spread where she was under all this geeky shit. And then I saw the pictures, and then I was in love, and I didn't care anymore.
Yeah,
and she
but
really created that Fast Time scene. She was Phoebe Cates.
Ooh.
Did you guys ever watch Attack of the Show on G4? She was the co-host for a number of years, and towards the end, she ended up getting replaced. But Sarah, she always came off to me as being one of those chicks that said they were into a bunch of geeky shit, and maybe were into a little bit of it, but really was kind of a fake geek.
Poser.
As far as I was concerned, yeah. And that rubbed me the wrong way.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think she saw an opportunity there and took it. And
absolutely.
You know, like, good for her. I mean, more power to you, but...
Yeah.
When you're fake, you know, people don't respond to that.
True.
I think she's great in that... In the newsroom.
Yeah, Sloan.
Yeah, that's Sloan where her being an emotionless robot works for her.
She's and she loves animals, and I love animals.
You guys have a lot in common. So I'm just saying, if you guys were Tindering, man, you'd probably both swipe whichever way's good.
Man,
she's dating a football player.
Yeah,
so...
I can't compete with that. But I was on Tinder the other day, and there was this girl with a machine gun in her photo.
Which way did you swipe that one?
I went left. I don't like girls with guns.
Is left bad?
I bother a lot of people, and I don't want to get shot. Yeah. Okay. Left is bad.
Right is right.
Yes.
All right.
But yeah, she had a gun.
Nice. She could protect you.
Maybe.
The zombies come. She's like, she could help you.
I don't want to get shot.
Was she in a bikini with a machine gun?
No.
She one of those girls?
No. She was in like hillbilly outfit.
Oh, yeah. Was she smiling? You can see the teeth.
Yeah. Probably well, I don't know. The gun was at her face.
Whoa.
Like aiming down sights.
Like at you? Like at the camera?
No, away from the camera. This one just looks like a profile.
I'm like, that is a red flag if I ever heard one.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the glitch in Tinder that like messed a bunch of people's profiles and like two guys had posted on their blog. They were chatting back and forth. Each one saw the other person as like this attractive girl.
Oh, nice.
But they were two dudes talking to each other. And it's the most fun. Once you realize they're two dudes talking, it's so funny because they're like doing all that like
oh,
typical
my God.
Talk. Like, I can't believe you're not confident.
Where
you're
did
beautiful.
You see this?
It was probably one of those BuzzFeed or UpRocks or something like that. I'll try to find
it. Awesome. Read it. Sounds really funny.
And it's just this like lot, like they go on for like ever, and then like one of them says something, and then there's like this like what, and he's like, you know, I'm a guy, right? And she's like, what? Why is your picture a girl? And he's like, why is your picture? And then they like screenshotted it because they added each other on Facebook, and then. They screenshotted what they saw, and they both just, now they're like best friends, probably. They probably got an apartment together.
Maybe they're in love.
They probably are. They had a really nice chat.
They probably just started dressing up like their female counterparts, and it's like a Bosom Buddies remake.
Yeah. While they thought the other one were girls, they had a great chat.
I like where this is going.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the trailers. I mean, overall, it was kind of a blah Super Bowl, a blah commercials and a so-so trailers. Nothing really.
Ninja Turtles killed it with the Krang.
Yeah.
Big
that
winner.
Was a nice one.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. You know what's not with the second go? I don't think Voltron needs a third go around, do you?
No. Yeah. The whole child, please.
Yeah.
Try the field, child.
Well, I guess what's our history with Voltron here, Amanda? You're the youngest here. Did you have any exposure to Voltron growing up?
Nope, I barely know what it is.
Perfect. Oh, wow. All right. Randy, what about you?
I used to watch the cartoon and I had the toys.
Yeah, and it was an awesome part of your childhood. Did you ever try to rewatch it as an adult?
Never.
Brutal.
Oh man, it's the worst. What I did, sounds like you did, Justin.
Yeah.
You want to tell us about your heartbreak?
It is awful. It is not even remotely interesting. In fact, it's the same thing every time where there was that prince that wants to invade the planet with the princess, right?
Yeah.
And he's just out to go get these guys. And then the giant monster shows up. They go out and they say, oh my God, we need to get in the lions. And they get in the lions and then they fight and they lose as individuals. And then they form Voltron. They make the sword. They cut the monster in half. Credits.
Well, the first they have to fight for a little while as Voltron and get beat. And then they make the sword. Then they win.
I don't remember them getting beat that much as Voltron.
Really?
I remember them forming Voltron, making the sword, and going to town. I mean, I'm sure you're right that he does get beat up a little bit, and then he says, wait a minute. You know what would
only
make this fight easier? If we had a sword.
Idiot, we have one.
Yeah. So dumb.
We can start starting these fights this way.
You know, in the pilot, or the first episode, it's all dudes. The princess isn't in a lion at first.
Ooh, sausage fest, eh?
Yeah.
That's no good. Well, what's the skinny on the new Voltron? Because we had Voltron when we were kids, and there were two versions. There was the car version and the lion version. And then they redid it later on, right?
Yeah, back in 2011, actually. One of our first interviews as Geek Legacy was with the showrunner for the new Voltron series.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was called Voltron Force? Does that sound familiar?
Sure. Didn't watch
it. Force? Back in 2000. It was on Nicktoons.
And that's
no
longer
I didn't watch
thing?
It either. No, I don't think so. And they even had, like, these two new guys that were, like interns. I don't know.
They're on lion polish duty.
Yeah.
Polish my lion.
So where can we see the new show?
It's going to be on Netflix. It's going to be a Netflix original, basically. DreamWorks and Netflix partnering.
Netflix makes stuff.
It's not for a while, though. It's sometime later this year, I think, is when you're actually going to see it. There's no rush.
Taking the time.
Yeah. Gotta make it good, Dave.
They do. Kind of in the same vein as Voltron, the Power Ranger movie announced their cast, and you see Elizabeth Banks is going to be Rita the Repulsive.
I can see that.
Yeah, it'll be fun. 10,000 years!
Well, you know, it's funny, because when Power Rangers came out, I was much older, and I remember thinking, man, this is a Voltron ripoff.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. Same thing. You know, they fight like they'd fight against the monster that was normal size as the Power Rangers, and then like Rita would make my monster grow, and they'd grow big and tall, and then they'd have to get in their Zords, and they get their butts kicked when they form their Zord, the Power Ranger guy, and then they'd bust out their sword and they or their crossbow or whatever weapon of choice they had that week, and then they'd kill it. So it's very much like Voltron.
Yeah.
Scandalous. Well, I watched Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah? What do you think about Elizabeth Banks playing Rita?
I think that could be really funny.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
And if they're casting her as Rita, then that means they're not going to be taking it super seriously, which would be good.
Yeah. Zed. That was the other guy, Zed, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
My kids still watch it. It's kind of fun. I'm like I was like Justin, because I'm a couple years older. To where I was a teenager when it came out, so I didn't really jump on board the train full hog. But my kids sure have.
Yeah, it's been on forever, huh?
Yeah, it's like its 22nd season or something like that.
Jesus, I mean, yeah. I remember being really young when it was around. So yeah.
Back in the Green Ranger day, Tommy.
I like that guy. And then what about the two guys, like the leather jacket wearing guys? What are their names?
Bulk and Skull.
Yeah.
Are they going to be in the movie too?
They're still in the show.
Oh.
Are you serious? Yeah. They're like 50 by now, aren't they?
Oh my God. Yeah. So like so they were in up until like one of the last seasons, and now it's like one of them, like I think it's Bulk, the bigger guy, and it's like Skull's like nephew, but like they're still around.
Huh.
They're still banging.
That's crazy.
Wow.
I'm impressed.
I can't believe it.
That's pretty funny. I'm shocked, Cotton. Shocked. Got really quiet.
Yeah. Power Rangers. What's after Power Rangers?
Lego, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Can't go a podcast without talking about Star Wars. Justin, you brought this fine news to our attention. Tell us all about this movie.
Yeah, man. So, well, movie? This Vigi game.
It's a game?
Yeah, Lego Star Wars, the Vigi game.
Oh, shit. I thought it was going to be like an animated movie.
No. And it's going to be, it's obviously going to recapture the magic that was the movie, The Force Awakens, but there are going to be 6 missions that bridge content. So people are actually going to see like key points in the story. They're gonna explore different things before the movie even takes place, which is kind of neat. So you get some backstory, and I think that's gonna be exciting. Yes. And it's even gonna have it looks like there's even gonna be side missions that explore topics like C-3PO, how he got his red arm, and how Han Solo and Chewbacca captured the those monster guys, the Rathtars or whatever they're called.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That should be kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, since The Force Awakens just passed $900 million domestically and $2 billion worldwide.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good, considering the former domestic record was 764.
I started playing Lego Jurassic World.
Oh, yeah? That's fun. My kids like it.
What were you going to say, Randy? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I've sadly resigned myself to believing that it's going to ultimately beat Avatar. I just don't think it has another $700 million in it.
Oh, no, it won't catch Titanic at $2.2 billion. It's pretty much done. I mean, it was still the number 3 movie at the box office this weekend. but, I mean, it only made $6.5 million. I think box office-wise, it's pretty much done. It's at $906 domestic. It won't hit it'll maybe hit 915, but it won't go to 920. So it'll end up third all time. When episode 8 comes out, they'll re-release episode 7 in the theaters. Like, remember this movie? And it'll make $150 million, and it'll pass Titanic at that point, I think. It'll end up the number 2 movie of all time.
That's pretty good.
If in my estimates, I could be wrong. Randy thinks it's going to make $3 billion, he said.
I know, but I can't stick to that anymore. I think
times
I was wrong.
It's $20 billion. Yeah, I mean it had an amazing run. I mean it's funny that it was the foreign box office that really didn't perform, made $1 billion, $1.1 billion in the foreign money, but like, it's just not as big a brand in like places like China, and they don't know who Luke Skywalker is. You know, they didn't have movies in the '70s. But I mean its domestic haul is no one thought it would make this much money domestically. I mean, even when it was clear that it was going to pass Avatar, I mean, people thought, oh, maybe only $800 million, that'd be cool. But $900 million for a domestic run is just, you know, I don't think anyone thought it was possible. But apparently it was.
I could do it.
Yeah, you could. You got a fun list, Rando?
I do have a fun list.
What's your fun list? What's it about?
Well, it's about iconic fictional power sources and which are the most powerful. Fictional power sources. This comes from our friends at SaveOnEnergy.com.
Ooh.
All right. So, number 10 on our list. Johnny Storm / the Human Torch. His Nova Burst. Powered by...
Flame on!
Yeah, exactly. That's the last thing that you hear before he summons the power of the flame, enabling all sorts of fun, fiery superpowers. His energy output, his most powerful attack is his Nova Burst capable of producing heat in excess of 1 million degrees. That means this immense heat reaches more than 400 times the melting point of steel. So that's kind of fun.
Whoa.
Speaking of melting shit, number 9, the lightsabers from Star Wars. Now, this doesn't go into what powers the actual lightsabers, which we all know is the crystal inside it, but its energy output is equal to 2.016 joules. I don't know what a lowercase e means in the middle of that number, but it must mean it's pretty damn powerful.
Means because, enough.
Yeah, enough. They constantly produce enough energy to heat 7.5 tanks of water to a toasty 140 degrees in your typical household water heater. What an interesting suburban fact.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Right. All right, Thor's hammer.
I noticed you didn't try to pronounce it.
Nope.
Mjolnir?
Mjolnir. Thor's hammer. All right, we all know the mythical hammer is said to have been forged in the heart of a dying star, and it's the primary source of Thor's powers, enabling supersonic flight and devastating attacks. The hammer's enchantments allow a host of abilities, such as the harnessing of the elements. When redirecting lightning, they can reach a power output of 3.0, there's that little case E again, 8 joules. That means by channeling repeated lightning strikes, Thor is controlling the equivalent of 100 times the power output of the world's largest nuclear power plant.
That's a lot of energy in a hammer, and it's metal, too, so, you know.
Yeah.
It sucks.
That's why nobody else wants to touch it. Not only can't pick it up, that motherfucker's going to shock you.
Yeah, just the Vision. Who's on Iron Man's side. Bringing it back to Justin's comment of why they're fighting.
Yeah, who's pretty much a god. All right, number 7 on the list, the Flux Capacitor from Back to the Future.
How much output that puts out.
How much?
1.21 gigawatts.
Absolutely, except it's gigawatts.
Dang it.
Same thing.
What's a gigawatt?
The hell's a gigawatt?
Exactly. So that produces enough the energy equivalent to over 60% of the Hoover Dam's output.
Is this a goddamn?
We're
going to get some damn bait.
I want to take the damn tour. Number 6 on our list. Tony Stark's miniaturized arc reactor.
Oh, shit. That he built in a cave.
Yeah. So we know he uses it to power his, at least the first few iterations of his Iron Man armor. But also, it provides that electromagnetic juice that keeps the little bits of shrapnel from going into his heart in the first movie, right? So yeah. It's multifunctional, this arc reactor. It produces the equivalent of 4 million horsepower. That means, pound for pound, this tiny device produces the comparable power output of over 10,000 space shuttle main engines.
Huh.
Inside your chest hole.
Can I complain about something? So, yeah. I was in the impression in the first Iron Man that metal could not be removed. But yeah. In Iron Man 3, it's like he goes and gets like this like simple surgery. Like,
yeah.
Did I miss something? Something happened between 1 and 3? Or could he always have gotten that surgery?
Miracle of medical science.
I think they explained it away that, like, at first he couldn't get it surgically removed, but then by the third movie they decided they needed him to have some sort of, like, personal crisis. I don't know. I think that was it.
Like, he wanted to keep it because, like, it reminded him of something?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I don't know. I would have gotten rid of the life-threatening shrapnel just in case.
Yeah, really.
That's me. I'm old-fashioned.
Number 5 on our list, the Terminator's 800 energy cell. All right, so the iridium nuclear energy cell powering the Terminator has enough capacity to produce 14.53 megawatts of energy for an entire month. That means it can power the Terminator for 1,095 days, which, when you think about it, doesn't that kind of negate the whole Terminator Genesis thing with the Terminator being here for decades? And aging, if it can only run for 1,000 days on that power source.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a lot.
Yeah.
How does a megawatt compare to a gigawatt?
You're
the scientist of our group.
A megawatt is smaller. Think of it like bytes. A megabyte is smaller than a gigabyte.
You just made that up.
It makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense.
If gasoline were used instead, going back to our iridium nuclear energy cell-powered cell here, if gasoline were used instead, it would require enough to refill a Honda Accord well over 18,000 times. That's how much gasoline it would take to power a Terminator for 1,000 days. Okay, number 4. This one's kind of weak. Human batteries from the Matrix. And by kind of weak, I mean we only have like a 100-watt output, the same as a household bulb.
That's not a lot.
No, not at all. At this rate, the machines would harvest 63.51 billion kilowatt hours, enough to meet the electricity needs of Portugal or the Philippines for an entire year. But that's from pretty much the entire human race.
Huh. Maybe they'd find better batteries than us.
Yeah. I don't think we make the best batteries.
But they're, like, oh wait, well, even if they were breeding human beings, it would still, like, be, yeah, it wouldn't be very efficient.
Yeah, because, I mean, everything, they need batteries for everything.
Yeah. Even for keeping their batteries alive.
Human batteries don't fit inside a flashlight very well.
Yeah. Just remember, Justin, it's not in space.
Yeah. Number 3, warp drive from Star Trek.
Woo!
So the energy output would need at least 6.5 lowercase e, 19 joules, to achieve warp speed. This feat requires the conversion of mass into pure energy, enough to power all of Earth for a full year. Just to achieve faster than light travel once.
Wow.
Number 2, the Death Star's super laser, of course from Star Wars. Maximum theoretical output of the super laser is equal to 1.0 lowercase e 38 joules. That means the super laser can focus 8,333 years worth of the sun's energy into a single beam.
Somewhere there's like an engineer screaming at his radio, like, the E stands for blank.
I know.
And we don't know how to look it up either.
I know, God forbid.
Because it's just an
E. If I Google lowercase e, all I get is everything. All right. Number 1, going back to Marvel, the Tesseract, which pretty much has an Infinity Stone inside of it. Power output is said to have no limits. And that means it allows the user to be anywhere at any time. Its capabilities seem limited only by one's imagination. making it one of the most powerful artifacts ever created. So pretty much in the grand scheme of things, the Tesseract trumps all.
Dang.
Well, shoot.
The Terminator thing seems a little high. The Terminator power source.
Yeah, I agree. E stands for energy, by the way.
Cool. Still don't know what it means in the middle of the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, that helps me not at all.
Yay.
So that's our list for this week.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm with Justin. I think the human batteries and the Terminator one might be a little high.
Well, I don't know. Aren't we just made of energy? We're pure
luminous
energy?
Beings we are. Not this crude matter.
You put a light bulb in Uncle Fester's mouth and it lights up.
Oh, okay. So let's need a whole
human. Well, there you go. That's where that comes from.
You didn't know that?
I'm an idiot. Stupid. An idiot.
What about the continuum transfunction art?
Yeah, it's false.
That could destroy the whole universe.
Well, I'm thinking about, what about Starkiller Base? That's got to be obviously more powerful than the Death Star. But I think this list may have been compiled before the events of The Force Awakens.
So it's bigger. There's always a way to stop the blow.
There's always a bigger fish.
Yeah. There's got to be a way to blow it up. There always is.
There always is. I love that.
It's like making fun of itself.
Yeah, self-aware. 1 gigawatt is 1,000 megawatts. Just in case you were wondering.
There's two sides to every word.
Strawberry!
What do you think about that? Did we talk about this? The Swords Awakens? Have we mentioned this yet?
Not lately, no. I mean, they keep talking about it, but...
Well, I mean, now there's a title, The Swords Awakens, and... But two of the cast members that are important to us aren't even on this earth anymore.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then another one is retired.
Oh, three, actually. Oh, yeah, forget about Rick Moranis for a second, but King Randall or whatever his name is, Dick Van Patten, he passed away, and you have
Joan You can Rivers work around him. But yeah, Joan Rivers and John Candy is a problem.
Yeah, they're staples.
I don't want a recast to Barf, and I don't know if you could really have it without Barf. That'd be like not having Chewie.
Well, you could have like.
Well, we'll have a Star Wars movie without Han. Think
about we already had three Star Wars movies without
Han. I was about to say that.
It'd be a four without Han.
So it's possible.
It is possible.
Possible, not probable.
Yeah.
Maybe they had a falling out.
Yeah.
As long as they get Rick Moranis back, that's the main thing.
I don't think he would even consider it if we can't get Rick Moranis.
Right, right.
Well, maybe it's Rick Moranis' kid. He went bad. Lone Star's kid went bad. Little shit.
Oh, that would be funny. I mean, if they do spoof The Force Awakens, you can get away with a lot that way. Because C-3PO was hardly in it, so you can get away with having Dot barely in it.
Yeah, they'd have to do some kind of send-off for Dot and Barf.
They could do they could just do her voice.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that can mimic that voice. I think her daughter does a pretty good impression.
Yeah. Melissa?
Yeah.
It's possible.
Because she played her in a biopic once.
Played Kennedy once.
played Kennedy once.
I was the walrus.
Oh, shit. Anywho.
I like it.
So, yes. Yeah. I love it. Assuming through raw suit.
I love
it.
Courtney, again, speaking of that, are you any of you watch The People vs. O.J. Simpson, the FX series?
Oh, no.
Not yet.
Actually, it's really good. The first episode, I mean, I think I'm enjoying it because, you know, I was a kid when it happened. You know, we lived through it as, you know,
sure.
Young teens. Because I was, what, 94? So I guess I would have been 15.
Yeah, I graduated. The day my sister graduated high school and I went through my 8th grade promotion, he was on the run.
Yeah, I remember watching it from like Perry's Pizza by my house at a pizza party for baseball. And the first episode was really good. My only small gripe is you know, Robert Kardashian is played by David Schwimmer, and there's like four times in the episode they make reference to the fact that he's, you know, his kids are Kim and Khloe and Kourtney Kardashian and his wife.
Even though the movie takes place before this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like small things. Like, they're at Nicole Brown Simpson's funeral and Kris Jenner is there, and like, these girls are roughhousing and like not being appropriate, and she has to yell, "Kim, Kourtney, you know, stop messing around." Just to kind of, I think, remind people that, oh yeah, look, this is...
This is how they got rich at first.
Yes, how they got rich. OJ. It's blood money. But yeah, everyone in it is really good. Like, Travolta's actually pretty good in it. Cuba Gooding Jr.'s O.J. Simpson is pretty good. It's just an interesting to see the, you know, because we were so inundated with it as young people.
But yeah, for a year.
Yeah. And then just to see this kind of dramatic retelling of it, it's kind of interesting. But it's only been one episode. Anything can be good for one episode. We'll see how it ends with OJ getting in the Bronco with AC and taking off.
Oh, wow.
That's how the first episode ends.
When was the verdict announced? I remember being in high school. Because it all started when I graduated, our eighth grade promotion, right? Going into ninth grade.
Yeah.
And I remember being in high school and going to the library and watching.
Yeah.
The,
June of 94 was the chase, right. And I want to say October of 95 was the verdict.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to go out.
I would have been a sophomore then.
Yeah. I remember it was like the beginning of my senior year. Now I'm going to look it up. OJ verdict. Boom. I don't know. November 9th.
Of 95?
Of 94. Oh, no, sorry, that's just ringing. Verdict was October 3rd, 1995. Bam.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so it was over a year that we were just inundated with this nonsense. Every day. All day.
The jury got sworn in. The trial span, the jury swearing in was November 9th, 1994. Opening statements were January of 95, and the verdict was October of 95. So, yeah, it was 11 months for the trial.
God, that's ridiculous. Yeah, I remember.
God, can you imagine being on that jury?
That would suck. But what? They're getting $5 a day. What are they bitching about?
Right.
Not like we ain't paying them.
You're here, aren't you? We're paying you, aren't we?
Well, you get lunch. You can't go home to your families, but you know.
You can keep the $5.
Yeah, got a sequester.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
crazy. I remember though, one of the jurors doing an interview, and she was saying, you know, this ain't a domestic violence case. This is a murder trial, because people were saying, well, you know, he like used to threaten her and beat the shit out of her, and she's like, that don't matter. This is a murder trial, not no domestic violence case. Thinking to myself, oh my god. I don't know if she understands how it led to it.
We got problems.
Yeah.
Plural.
It's Anger Man.
But yeah, so we've been introduced to all the characters. Only character we haven't met is Judge Ito, obviously, because they haven't gone to trial. But, you know, we've met our Shapiro, our Kardashian. We met, you know, obviously OJ.
Is this series going to cover the span of the trial, too?
Yeah, it's supposed to go the entire way.
Is this the show that you were telling me about? Oh, we talked about this show like 6 months ago where it was going to be a new high-profile case every season or something? Like
yeah, that? it's by Ryan Murphy, the guy who did American Horror Story and Glee. And so it's going to be kind of like how American Horror Story is, to where it's every season is like a different story, but a lot of the actors carry over.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if we'll necessarily carry the actors over, but every season will be a high profile case. And, I mean, it's really very few that are more high profile, I guess, than OJ. So they thought, let's start there.
Maybe the bomber guy, Ted Kaczynski, is that his name?
Yeah, the Unabomber.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one.
Yeah, we found this guy in this house.
He was a whack job. Yeah.
You just look at him and you're like, yeah, that guy's guilty.
And then that one lady that shook the baby.
Oh, yeah.
She was a piece.
One where the dingo stole the baby.
Well, what about the little girl that was like a beauty pageant kid?
JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh.
Yeah. And everyone thought the parents did it.
Yeah.
I would hate to have to relive all that stuff if I was one of the victims' families, though.
Yeah, that's rough. I think the Goldman dad, I think he passed away.
Did he really?
I don't know.
He had that crazy mustache.
He did. Rocked that mustache proudly the whole time. Monster killed my kid. He's the one who kind of gets lost in it. It's like everyone remembers, like, Oja killed his wife. Yeah, but he killed this other guy, too.
The waiter. Somewhere. Yeah. There was this whole thing. I remember when Norm MacDonald hosted the ESPYs, and he saw somebody that was a Heisman Trophy winner. And he's like, hey, you know, they'll never be able to take that away from you. Unless you kill your wife and some waiter. Everyone was like, whoa.
When he got kicked out of Saturday Night Live for making fun of OJ, because Dick Ingersoll is a big fan, a good friend of OJ. He was running late night, and his joke was that finally got him kicked off was when OJ got arrested for stealing all that memorabilia or whatever. So OJ Simpson was arrested in Nevada for unlawful detainment, theft, petty larceny, but mostly murder.
It's terrible.
And then he was gone the next day. I love Norm MacDonald. He's a funny, funny man.
I don't like those Colonel Sanders commercials.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, it was Colin Quinn for like a day and a half. And then all of a sudden it was Norm MacDonald.
Yeesh.
It was weird. Weird. Any closing thoughts, shout outs? Randy had one. What was yours, Randy?
Well, you know, you and I are going to be at Long Beach Comic Expo on Saturday, February 20th at 6 p.m. We're going to be doing a panel called Social Media and Marketing for Your Indie Films and Web Series. It's going to be you, me, and Chris Gore. So
right,
come on
jokes
on,
already.
Check it out.
No dead grandma jokes this time.
The jokes write themselves. When they do, we get in trouble.
Yeah. No prequel jokes. I don't want to get booed again.
Yeah, it turns out it's no longer fashionable to be a prequel basher.
And I'm not even a prequel basher. I love the prequels. Like one offhanded comment to try to placate a geeky crowd, and they turned on me. What can you do? What about you, Justin? You got anything? Now that you're a big wrestling fan now.
All the guys that I went to go see are dead.
It makes for a very uninteresting show.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan retired tonight. It was sad for a lot of people. Hometown, Seattle.
But it's rad you got to see it.
Yeah.
That's good. What about you, Amanda? You always have a shout at her six.
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah, you don't. Maybe you had one today.
Nope.
You're in Frisco. They call it Frisco there. And you're in the heart of the action because Super Bowl Sunday was there. So is it still party over there? Or everyone just go home?
I just hid in my apartment all weekend, so... I don't know.
Yeah, try to avoid the Coldplay fans.
Was Coldplay here?
They did the halftime show.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that.
They did. I like Coldplay.
Don't believe me, just watch.
That's not Coldplay.
He was there too.
Yeah, Bruno Mars was also there. Singing fucking Uptown Funk You Up. Song, like every kid's favorite song. So anyone who has a kid between 8 and 12 hears it every 5 seconds.
What's up?
On loop, Uptown Funk. The song you were just singing.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Don't believe me, just watch.
It's called Uptown Funk, parentheses, just watch, or something like that.
Yeah, it's a thing. But, well, cool. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. Make sure that you listen to the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. You got Jeff and Tyler reading their comic books in the Comic Book Corner. And it's a really fascinating show. They get some fun interviews, talk about comics on their poll list, and just basically hate on each other for an hour or so.
And George just won another tournament.
Yeah, he's like Daniel LaRusso.
Yeah.
We're proud of that.
Proud
kid.
Oh.
Yeah, we're proud
Daniel's
of him.
Son.
Yeah, he's got all these medals now. He's like the Michael Phelps of Geek Legacy.
Yeah, he's like the Owen Hart.
Yeah, he's got slams.
He's just got these statues. He's got this super gold trophy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's judo chopping his way through the ranks. He's probably gonna protect Obama. He's probably gonna.
Okay.
He's a jiu-jitsu champion.
Yeah. Just now we got Atlanta. Yeah, now he can't go anywhere. People just want to challenge him in the street, like take his belt.
Shows medals. He'll be walking down the street like he's Flavor Flav with all this gold. Sweet.
Even weighed down by gold, you still kick your ass. But yeah, make sure you hit us up on the social networks there too. You got the Twitter there at Geek Legacy. You can find us on Facebook. You know, throw us a like, comment, you know, whatever you want. And yeah, make sure you rate us on iTunes. 5 stars is good, but 4 we'll take. So until next time, talk to you later.